You look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. I'm going to be reading two verses of Scripture to begin with, and I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. The first verse ties into Donna's song, John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray today that we would understand that the best friend that we will ever have is Jesus Christ. And as we look to him, we find a perfect model for our own friendships. And so, God, I pray today that you would help all of us to make a fresh start in our friendships. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, we're in a series called Fresh Start. We've looked at fresh start in my finances, fresh start in my fitness, fresh start in my family, fresh start in my faith. And today we're going to be looking at fresh start in my friendships. And next week we'll look at fresh start in my feelings. Okay? And that is, we want to look at every aspect of our life, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the financial, the social areas of our life, all of these, and ask God to give us a fresh start in 2017. Thinking about friendships, Collier Magazine ran an article several years ago about an orphanage. And there was a young girl there, and this girl was not all that attractive. She had some annoying habits. And because of that, the people who adopted the children sometimes overlooked this little girl. The other children in the orphanage picked on her. And the director was suspicious that this little girl was sending messages to the outside that would bring negative publicity to the orphanage. So he was trying to figure out how he might get her transferred to another place. Well, one day one of the kids said, this little girl had placed a note out in the stone wall that went around the orphanage. And the director thought, aha, here's the proof that I need. And so he went out there and he searched and he found in the crevice a little note. And in that note, he opened it up and it says, to whoever finds this, I love you. You see, that little girl illustrates the fact that all of us have a basic need in our life to be loved by other human beings. When God created the earth on the first day, after he was finished creating, the Bible says it was good. On the second day, it was good. The third day, it was good. On the sixth day, he said it was very good. And then after that, God said it is not good for man to be alone. You see, when God made you and God made me, he put something in us that longs for and desires and needs fellowship and friendship with other people. Think about it. Adam was in a perfect paradise, but it was not good for him to be alone. You and I don't live in a perfect paradise. How much more is it not good for us to be alone? I want to share with you today a biblical formula for friendships. The first part of this formula is as I identify the types of friendships. Notice here, casual friends are the result of circumstances. That is, somebody might be your friend because you went to school with them, or you work with them, or you play on a ball team with them. These are casual friends. But the most important kind of friend that we're thinking about today is close friends. And they are the result of choices. That is, I say, I'm going to choose to be this person's friend. And I'm going to choose it because of certain factors that we're going to look at in a moment. Notice here, the closer I am to a person, the greater impact they will have on my life. Every one of us has an inner circle. That inner circle, that those people that we let closest to us influence our lives in ways we may not recognize. Jesus had thousands who followed him, but yet he selected 12. To pour his life into. And even out of the 12, he had an inner circle of 3, and that was Peter, James, and John. And I believe that Jesus has a model that is, we can love and be friendly with everybody, but we have to be selective in our close friends and even more selective with our inner circle. Notice here, because of that, I need to choose my friends wisely. I came across this article. I'm not going to share all of it with you, but I do want to share part of it. And the title of it is 5 Surprising Ways Your Friends Influence You, Backed by Science. And that is, this report is going to cite several different places and scientific. I'm not going to go into all that. But I want to read the introduction and the conclusion to this article. It says, the company you keep says a lot about you. Friends have a big influence on how you feel, how you think, and how you behave. And here are 5 reasons you should be careful who you surround yourself with. Now remember, this isn't written by a Baptist preacher. You know, this is from the scientific community. All right, now let me read you the close. It says, you're likely to start acting like the people you surround yourself with. All right, now think about that. You're going to start acting like them. So who do you surround yourself with? It says, pick friends who make poor choices, and you'll get dragged down fast. But if you choose friends who inspire and challenge you to become better, you will increase your chances of reaching your goals. You know what the scientific community is finding with their research? Stuff that the Bible has been saying for thousands of years. Okay? And that is, we need to be selective in our friendships. The second part of this formula I want you to see is I need to determine my closest friendships. Not somebody else, not by chance, not by circumstance, but I need to choose them closely myself. Proverbs 27:19 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Okay, so I want to know what kind of person you really are on the inside. All I have to do is look at your close friends, because they are a mirror of who you are. You get that? Teenagers, you get that? This is why mama says, well, I don't like you hanging around with so-and-so. All right, because they see stuff you don't see. They see that those folks will mirror who you become. They will influence how you think and how you feel and how you behave. I remember when my kids were teenagers, one of them bowed up at me and said, you can't choose my friends. I said, as long as you live in my house, I can. And I did. Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendships, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The truth of the matter is that Americans are getting worse in their relationships. Technology and social media have become a substitute for the real thing. Have any of you been keeping up with a new phenomenon that is called fake news? You know what fake news is? That's news that's not really news, that's really a lie. Well, I want you to know there's something worse than fake news, and that's fake friends. Okay? Fake friends. Listen, you can go on Facebook and have 1,983 fake friends. Okay? And you think that somehow that makes them real friends. Coming back to this article I told you a while ago, for those of you that are social media addicts, I want to tell you what the University of Edinburgh says about social media. It says, the research shows the more Facebook friends you have, the more stress you have in your life. Research linked an abundance of social media connections to increased anxiety. You know what they're finding out? Hey, just have a real friend instead of a fake friend. All right, well, what criteria should I use in choosing a friend? Number one, I will avoid people who have chosen certain lifestyles. Now, before I jump into this, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. And what I'm about to tell you are the kind of people to avoid being close friends. That does not mean that you don't pray for them, you don't love them, you don't witness to them, you don't minister to them. It just says you don't choose these people to be your inner circle. Because remember, they're going to make you like them. All right, number one, I'm going to avoid lazy people. And I don't have time to have all the verses, but if you want to look them up, I gave you some out to the side. Number two, I will avoid angry people. Now, all of us get riled up every once in a while, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody's just mad all the time. Number three, somebody that's immoral, somebody that is wicked. Number four, somebody that is greedy. And then number five, somebody that is unbelieving. All right, so why are we going to avoid those? Remember, what does it say? The people that you hang out with are going to influence you to become like they are. You don't want to be greedy. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be lazy. You don't want to be wicked. So you don't hang out with those people in your inner circle. Dennis Rainey is a leadership guru. He's a best-selling author, but he's also a Sunday school teacher in his local church. He teaches sixth grade boys, okay? That's a pretty big church that has just one class for sixth grade boys. We're going to get there one of these days, okay? We're headed that way. Anyhow, he has a lesson that he does every year with this group of sixth grade boys, and it's called My Buddies. And he comes in, and he has a little table there, and he brings out three apples. One of them is a red, shiny, perfect apple. And then he has two other apples that he says, all right, these are my buddies. The other two, well, they look nice, but they have at least one bruise on them. They have one blemish on them. They have one bad spot on them. But besides that, they look really good. He says, all right, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all these buddies together in a bag. And he puts them in a bag, wraps them up. He said, now I'm going to put them over here in the closet, and in a month from now, we're going to look and see how our buddies are doing. So, you know, a month goes by, the boys have forgot about it, and he said, oh, a month goes by, he goes, and he takes the bag out there, and he says, look at it. And he takes them out, and you know what they've discovered? They're all discolored, they're all brown, they're all rotten, and they're all stinking. You see, the old proverb is one bad apple will ruin the whole bunch. You see, those other ones look good, but there was something on the inside of that apple that was rotten that made the good apple become rotten. And so you have to be careful who you choose in your inner circle, or you'll turn out rotten. Next, notice I will select close friends who will, number one, stimulate me mentally. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. All right, so do you want to be wise? Hang out with people who are wise, okay? If you want to be happy, hang out with happy people, okay? If you want to have whatever it is, you just hang out with that kind of folks. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You need somebody to challenge you mentally. You don't need somebody that's just going to rubber stamp everything you say and be a yes man or a yes woman. You see, a real true friend will stimulate you to think. Henry Ford was having lunch one day with one of his colleagues, and he asked him, he said, who's your best friend? And the guy started listing names. And Henry Ford said, that's not your best friend. And he took a napkin, took out his pen, and he wrote something on it, and he handed it to the guy who's having lunch. You know what he wrote on that napkin? Your best friend is the person who brings out the best that's on the inside of you. What was he saying? He's saying choose people that will stimulate you mentally. Somebody to stimulate you to think. And then secondly, I would select friends who support me emotionally. We'll look more at this next week. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. In the New Testament, in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You and I need somebody that will support us in life emotionally. Now, I grew up in the era of black and white TV. And one of the people that we loved to watch was the Lone Ranger. Any of you grew up watching Lone Ranger? Okay. I think you can still see the Lone Ranger on some of these cable channels. Well, you think of the Lone Ranger as somebody who does life by themselves, right? What's wrong? You see, the Lone Ranger always had somebody, always had Tonto, he had somebody. But one of the things that I missed growing up was there was a Lone Ranger creed. You know, like the Boy Scouts have a motto, they have an oath. Well, there was a Lone Ranger creed. It's about 8 or 9 items. I stumbled across this as I was studying this past week, okay? I'm not going to go into all 8 or 9, but I want to tell you the number one, the first item on the Lone Ranger creed. It says, I believe to have a friend, a man must be one. That's from the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger understood if you want to have a friend, you got to be one. Number three, as I choose my friends, I will select those who will strengthen me spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. I'm going to give you a little homework project. I want you to get you a pad. It can be a small one or it can be a big one, however how much you need. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that pad and I want you to write down what would be your ideal friend. I mean, if you could write a job description, if you could make a wish list, this is the kind of friend I would like to have in life. And then write it down, okay? After you write it down, tear it off, put it on the refrigerator. And then make it your goal to become the person that you just put on there. You see, what you will find is if you want to have that kind of friend, be that kind of friend. Be the kind of friend you'd like to have, and you will end up having that kind of friend if you are that kind of friend. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. I have a book here, probably many of you have read it. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It sold 27 million copies, okay? I have a little part here that I've marked I want to share with you, okay? It's on page 100. He said, there is one all-important law of human conduct. If you obey that law, we shall almost never get into trouble. Oh, I like that. In fact, if the law is obeyed, it will bring us countless friends and constant happiness. Anybody want in on that? Here he says, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And then he goes on to say on page 101, Jesus summed it up in one thought, probably the most important rule in the world. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's called the golden rule, okay? Listen, this fella has sold 27 million books understanding something Jesus said. If you want to have a friend, be a friend. Treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. And by the way, let me tell you the best place to find those kind of friends is at church. Yeah. You're not going to find those kind of friends at the honky-tonk. You don't find them at the bar. You're not going to find them out on the playground. You're going to find them at church. And by the way, let me tell you, the best place to find them at church is in Sunday school, discipleship class, a ministry. You understand, you're not going to find and make best friends in worship. Worship's not set up for that. Worship is set up to give glory and honor to God and for God to speak to us. But in the small group, Sunday school, discipleship, ministry, you make friends. So let me encourage you, if you're not a part of one of those or all of those, to get involved. Number three, I will build godly friendships. How will I do that? Number one, I'll get interested in other people. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want you to circle that word, must. A man who has friends must be friendly. I hear this all the time. Well, I just don't have any friends. Listen, that's not a criticism on them. That's a criticism on you. You see, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Selfishness guarantees loneliness. Okay? Just get interested in other people. Lucille Bell South monitored a bunch of phone calls to see if they could find a pattern in people's conversations. You know what they discovered? The most word used in the conversations was the word I. So let me tell you how you build really close friends. You stop making it about you, and you start making it about them, and people will be attracted to you. Philippians 2:4 says it this way, each of you should not only look to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. You'll be a friendly person. If you'll be interested in what other people are interested in, they'll be interested in you. Number two, this is really hard. I will smile a lot. Yeah. Notice what it says in Proverbs 15:13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. Yeah. Did you know a smile is the same in Chinese as it is American? Yeah, a smile is the same thing in India or Africa or Australia or in Latin America. It is a universal language. All you have to do is see somebody and smile. And it brightens up their day and yours. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and all of us who've had that veil removed, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Moses went up on the mountain. When he came down, he had a glow around him because he'd been in the presence of God. Well, let's you and I have the kind of effect that people have a glow after they've been in our presence. That is, we're in the presence of God. God works in our life. We have that joy that the choir was singing about. And when other people are around us, it just lights them up. Yeah. By the way, I read this, that it takes 72 muscles to frown, but it only takes 6 muscles to smile. Some of you are tired because you go around using too many muscles. Okay? Lighten up. Smile. Enjoy life. Have a good time. That brings me to the next thing. If you want to build godly relationships, don't be a chronic complainer. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe. You understand that if you're a positive, upbeat, happy, cheerful, encouraging kind of person, people will be drawn to you like bugs to a light. That's right. People like being around happy, cheerful, upbeat, encouraging people who hand out praise. But listen, if you are a whiner and a complainer and you walk around with a cloud over your head all the time and you just gripe and you're negative, people will be polite to your face, but they will avoid being around you. You want to build godly friendships? Smile. Quit complaining. Be happy. All right? Be interested in other people. And then number four, I'll be a good listener. This is a lost art. James 1:19, my brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Did you know most folks, when somebody's talking to them, they don't even listen? You're not listening to what they're doing. What you're doing is you're thinking about what you're going to say when they stop talking. I'm telling you, being a good listener is something that everybody needs in their life. And you want to be a good friend, you want to have a good friend, you got to be a good listener. Somebody recently was telling me about someone that I know, I won't call their name, and they said, you know what, when you talk to them, they won't let you finish a sentence, they complete your sentences for you, and said, it is so irritating. You know what they were saying? They're saying this person wasn't a good listener. Sometimes all you have to do is just nod your head and say, yeah, I'm okay, yeah. And it's just that easy to be a friend. Number five, E on your outline, I will accept people unconditionally. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. Listen, if you're waiting for the perfect person to be a friend, you're going to be friendless, okay? But what you'll do is if you'll love people, warts and all, what you will find out is that you will have plenty of friends in your life in this journey. Number F, letter F, I will help people to feel significant. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. You know, a while ago I said social media is causing a lot of people to have stress and anxiety. Let me tell you why that is. People go over there and look at all these other people's pictures and their posts, and they look at all of that and they get depressed. Oh, my life is not like that. My marriage is not like that. My children are not perfect like that. You understand, people put stuff on social media like they put it on a resume. They only show you the good stuff. They only show you the Kodak moment. Their life is not that way all the time. Let me tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered a lot of people are suffering from low self-esteem. And they do some of this stuff because they're trying to prop themselves up. And it's not so much they're trying to convince you that their life is good. They're trying to convince themselves. And so let me tell you how to really make friends is to go around and build people up. Help them to feel important and significant. Queen Victoria had two great prime ministers during her reign. One was William Gladstone and the other one was Benjamin Disraeli. One day she was asked about the difference between the two prime ministers, and here's what she said. She said, when I'm around William Gladstone, I feel like I am in the presence of one of the greatest leaders in the world. She said, but when I'm around Ben, I feel like I'm one of the greatest leaders in the world. Which one do you think she is friends with? Not the one who's like, oh, he's really important. But it was the one, when I'm with them, they make me feel like I am important. Now listen, if the Queen of England can pick up on that, how much more do our friends pick up on it? Next on your outline is, I will sympathize and show my emotion. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Sam Rayburn has the distinction of being the longest speaker of the House of Representatives that there's ever been. On one occasion, he had a friend whose teenage daughter was killed in a car wreck. He stopped what he was doing and went to his friend's house. And he showed up and he said, what are you doing here? He said, well, I'm here to do whatever I can do. What can I do? He said, well, there's not anything you can do. Sam said, well, have you had a cup of coffee? He said, no, I haven't had time for breakfast. He said, all right, let's go in here in the kitchen. I'll make you a cup of coffee. So he's in there making the guy a cup of coffee. He's the Speaker of the House. And his friend says to him, says, I thought you were supposed to have breakfast at the White House with the President today. He said, I was. But I called and told him that a friend needed me, so I wouldn't be there. All of us need a friend like that. So when life is hard and life is difficult, what will they do? They'll stop what they're doing, no matter how important it is, and they'll be there for you. We all need a friend like that. And then number H on your outline is, I will stick with them in tough times. There are friends who pretend to be friends. That's them fake friends. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Folks, life is hard. Sometimes we say life is not fair. And let me tell you what, you need folks to love on you and support you and encourage you when life is tough and life is not fair. John Maxwell tells about two friends. They were childhood buddies. They went to high school. They're best friends in high school. They're best friends in college. World War I broke out. They both enlisted in the army and went over there to fight in Germany. One particular day, they were in the heat of the battle, and the sound to retreat was given, and so they came under heavy fire and retreated. When Jim got back, he noticed that his friend Phil wasn't there. And he said to the sergeant, he said, Sarge, have you seen Phil? He said, no, I haven't seen him. And he said, well, I got to go back and check on him. He said, oh, no, that'd be suicide. You don't go. He said, I got to go. He said, I'm ordering you, stand down, soldier. As soon as he got a moment, guess what? Jim went back to the heat of the battle. A little bit later, he came carrying his dead friend on his shoulders. Brought him back, set him down to Sarge, said, I told you it was a waste of time. I told you not to go back. And he looked up and he said, I'm glad I went. He said, because when I got there, Phil was still alive. And he looked up at me and he said, I knew you'd come, Jim. I knew you'd come. You and I need a friend that we know will show up no matter what's going on in the tough times of life. And then lastly, I will share Christ with my friends. Luke 8:39 says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This here is the story of the Gadarene demoniac, and that is his whole life was controlled by the devil, and Jesus set him free. He wanted to get in a boat with Jesus, but Jesus says, no, go tell your family, go tell your friends. And what did he do? He went all over town. He told everybody. And you see, if you really are a friend, you need to speak to those folks in your life that do not know Jesus Christ. It was right before Mother's Day. The second grade school teacher was trying to get her kids ready for Mother's Day. And so she says to the class, class, who is your best friend in the world? Well, little Donnie stuck his hand straight up. Didn't hesitate. The teacher says, Donnie, stand up and tell everyone who is your best friend. Donnie stood up. Took his chest out and he said, it's God. The teacher said, oh, well, yeah, we all know that, but I'm talking about at home. Who is it that takes care of you? Who is it that provides for you? Who is it that helps you in everything? He said, oh, that'd be Jesus. You know, that little 7-year-old boy had learned something from his mother or his dad or in his home that was going to serve him well the rest of his life. You and I will never have a friend better than Jesus. If you'll look on the back of your outline there, I want you to know that Jesus does all of these things very well. A good listener, you can call on him 24/7. He'll never interrupt you. He'll never argue with you. He'll listen to you. He will accept you unconditionally. He won't make you fix something before he becomes your friend. And then notice there, help feel significant. that the Son of God would leave heaven and die on the cross in your place. If that doesn't make you feel significant, you never will. Notice there, I will sympathize. The Bible says he is touched by what touches us. He says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. And he will stick with you in the tough times. When the rest of the world walks out, Jesus never will. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In closing today, I want us to think about what we've heard today. And I want us to think about a couple of questions. Do you need a friend? Do you want a friend? Well, determine today that with God's help, you're going to be the kind of friend you'd like to have. Like attracts like. Maybe you're here today and you have a friendship and it's strained. And you'd come and say, God, help me to make a fresh start in a friendship that I already have. Maybe that you're here today and you had a friend in the past and they betrayed you, they hurt you, they disappointed you, they let you down. And so you've kind of built a wall around yourself. I want to encourage you to come to this altar today and say, God, help me to forgive that person who let me down. God, help me with my trust issues with other people. Help me, God, to be a friend and to make friends. Let me ask you, is Jesus your best friend today? If he is not your best friend, I invite you to come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It'll be the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment, decision making, I pray, Lord, that we would all today decide to be the kind of friend we'd like to have. And then, Lord, in a group this size, I know that there are folks who have broken and strained friendships. And I pray, God, that you would inspire them today to make a fresh start, to be reconciled, to mend those fences. Lord, we all have those people, casual friends and close friends that don't know Jesus. Help us, God, to pray. Help us, God, to witness. Help us, God, to love them into the kingdom. Lord, as we have our time of decision-making, Lord, may the Holy Spirit speak to us. And as you speak, Holy Spirit, may we step out in faith and trust you. We'll make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.